This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Well, with me today is Marion Nell, and Marion, what prompted this conversation today was a conversation that we had on a bus in Spain.
Indeed.
Of all things.
Strange ways, yeah.
And so I was wondering perhaps if you could just sort of reintroduce me to what you've been looking at and studying. And to let our listener know as well.
Okay, well, it's something I've come at from two angles. I work both within the missions community with families, but also I am an intercultural consultant with a secular company that moves people internationally. And in both contexts, I've come up against or with people who are going overseas for the first time in their 50s or even 60s. And leaving behind kids who are probably college age or perhaps are just a bit past, and began to come across this phrase, YANGs, Y-A-N-G, young adults not going, and beginning to look at some of the concerns, obviously, that parents have, but also some of the concerns that some of the kids express too, both in the emotional sense of, you know, the parting, but also very practical details of leaving perhaps your home in the care of your youngster and what that might mean.
Then let's look at, first of all, the parents who are going to serve in an organization overseas, and how are they feeling as they tell their young adults, and all of a sudden the young adults don't seem to be too excited. How are the parents handling this, and what are some possible solutions?
Well, I think obviously parents have a certain amount, degree of anxiety as to who's going to be the first port of call for this kid if something should go wrong. They're very excited about this new phase in their own lives, and I think what's works best is where actually they've talked through what's happening with their yang before they actually even make a commitment, or as the commitment is being made, so that they talk to them and say, well, do you understand why I'm going? Do you understand why I made this, why we're making this decision? And do you see anything positive for you out of this proceeding? What might be good for you in terms of, well, perhaps more freedom, more chance to prove your independence, the opportunity for international travel. You know, you can come visit me, and it'll be great that we can kind of explore things together. The importance for the parents to be able to reassure their yang that, you know, our love and commitment is that we're always there for you. Talking about how they handle the feelings, acknowledging some of these things. I mean, very often these kids, it's not they don't want their parents to go. They're very often very keen that they should do it. But at the same time, alongside that goes a sense of almost abandonment. I'm being left behind. And how do I deal with this kind of mixture of emotions?
Right. Well, that sort of brings up some practical issues, I guess, for both the parent and the young adult is, if the parents are going, do they keep the house, the flat that they have for the young adult? What about medical care? I mean, there are a lot of issues, aren't there, that they really probably need to consider in this?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to kind of block some of these practical things out under certain headings. I mean, there's security issues of personal safety for the yang, for possessions. Do they know about insurance, for property, for the car, when it needs to be renewed? What about legal documents being stored, where their birth certificates are? Who are reliable taxi firms to take them about? All those sort of areas of things. And then emergency procedures. What happens if they get taken ill? Do they know about them? If it's medical insurance, or if it's hospital numbers, dentist, doctor details, police contact? And really, what sort of support network, you know, who do they go to if they're in a spot of trouble? Who's the support system? Are there grandparents that they can kind of go to, or a friend? Where's a point of refuge for them if they need to get out? Who are the significant others, in other words, that they want to involve in this?
And then as we look at the young adult having to face all of these things, what would you tell the parents if suddenly they're looking at their young adult and they're thinking, I'm not sure that my young adult child is actually ready for me to leave? Boy, then maybe there are some difficult choices that need to be faced.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just mirrors the bigger question that people have in general when they take families overseas. Is this a good time for our family to be going? And that's a decision you have to make when you've got small kids. Is it right for the family? I always encourage people to think that when God calls them, he calls the whole family, not just parents. And therefore, it's right to take into account the needs of everyone. And therefore, if I had a family where I had a yang that was really very negative, I would think twice about whether that was the right thing to do, and maybe explore options of, could they come with us? You know, what would be the options if they came with us? Very often it's the concern about leaving friends behind is there. But I think those sort of free and frank discussions need to take place, and people need to be free to express their feelings and then be able to deal with it. I mean, I think very often giving as much information as possible is good, bringing the yang into the experience, planning for frequent visits, traveling with friends out there, doing some web-based learning on it, being positive about the experience and seeing what they can get out of it as well. I think the other thing that's very important to do is really establish the lines of communication. What are the expectations on both sides of means and frequency of contact? What constitutes an emergency, which means you must ring me up at any time, day or night? I mean, there's so many ways now we can keep in contact with Skype, mobiles and all the rest of it. But I think that's another area that really needs to be explored and tied down, if you like, contracts entered into on that.
Well, let's take a look at organizations. How aware are organizations of this, I don't want to call it a phenomena, but this new movement in terms of those of us who are in our 50s and 60s with our kids? Are organizations becoming aware of this, or is this something that we really need to help them know about?
I don't think it's past the radar, which is what I find very interesting, is that the secular organization I work with has a whole program for yangs with questionnaires and ideas of what to do. I haven't come across that within the Christian world that I've been working in. I think it's kind of assumed, they're past 18, 19, they're grown-ups, they're okay. But what we know is that kids at that age, I mean, they're dying to fly the nest, but at the same time, they very much need the security of parents. And not having that kind of cushion, that fallback, can be quite an issue. So I don't think we've really looked at it. I don't think we've come up with much in the way of materials and advice. I mean, I've got a page of advice that I use with folks, but I don't think there's anything really that I've come across anyway out there. I would be interested to see and to hear if anybody else is doing stuff on this. Part of this is awareness, right? Once you're aware, then you begin to make plans. And I think, you know, you can help parents to plan with kids before they go. You can help the kids to make good decisions, to know how to go through decision-making processes. You can make good plans for future involvement. You can sort of say, okay, where do we want to be 3 months down the line, 6 months, 12 months, and review it. You can think about, well, how are we going to deal with significant times like anniversaries, both personal ones, birthdays, national things? What are kind of family rituals and routines that we can do, even though we're separated geographically, and what can we take and leave with us in terms of items of personal significance that, you know, I'll have this in my room and it'll remind me of you and it'll remind me that you're thinking of me too.
Just recently in our organization had a couple join us. They were able to take early retirement. They're in their mid-50s. Their situation's a bit different in that their kids are all adults, late 20s, early 30s. But let's pretend that they are a bit younger. Is there any kind of a timeline that those of us as adults who are looking at going into this kind of service, I would assume that it's not good to say, hey, in 3 months, we're going to be going overseas. To me, it would seem very, very short if I were a young adult and I just was suddenly told by my parents, hey, in 3 months, we're gone, you know, have a nice life. So, timelines perhaps that we could look at.
Yeah, certainly I would say 3 months is nowhere near enough time. I mean, if we look at what we know about transition, that 6 months before we're due to leave a place, we begin to disengage, we give up some of our responsibilities and roles. So the likelihood is that 6 months before they know that the parents are already disengaging. Mm. So I think the more notice that you can give, because you need time to have this conversation of what's it going to mean for me, what's going to be the hardest time about our separation. And sometimes that's quite surprising what comes up out of that. So I think plenty of lead-in time, and then maybe drawing up some actually concrete plans of how we're going to handle this, what commitment we're going to have to the relationship. As I say, expectations in terms of communication. Finance is something you've got to bring up. Do they understand about budgeting? What's going to be part of their, what are they going to be responsible for? What are you still going to be responsible for as being overseas? There's lots of kind of actually just practical things that take a time to sort out that, you know, if you're just leaving and going and not leaving anybody else that really, that's going to need any sort of support, doesn't come into it really.
As we look at the young adult, it is quite unusual in that instead of when I went to work with TWR, I left. I was 22 years old and it was my parents who were missing me. Mm. And now the shoe is on the other foot where the young adult is saying goodbye to mom and dad as they go overseas. It was difficult for me as a young person to leave my parents. It's hard for me to imagine if I was 22, my parents leaving me. And I that's the thing that I guess that I'm wrestling with right now, is trying to put myself into the shoes of my 21, almost 22 year old son, thinking, wow, what would I be thinking? And what would you say to me as a parent of how I should be feeling about, you know, what my kid is feeling?
Well, I mean, just being sensitive to it is number one. I think you've actually captured it exactly, that, you know, there's a confusion of feelings here. Your son may be absolutely delighted that you're adventurous enough to be considering something new. And if they're a believer, then they're kind of blessing you in that. But that doesn't prevent them still having this sense of, gosh, I feel as though I'm orphaned. I'm absolutely thrilled they're going, but I'm feeling orphaned. Mm. And I think encouraging kids to do some journaling on those feelings to allow that, and actually articulating what I'll miss most about them. But while mum and dad are away, we're going to still do this. And perhaps one thing that scares me a little is this, but, you know, I will, and try and put some extra words and expressions in there, and finding for themselves something positive out of this experience as well.
For me, when I went to Guam, and I think that also in the case of our son, what really helped me and what has really helped him has been his church family. And in today's society, I think anywhere in the world practically, you know, we move so much. And so my parents are 600 miles away from us, and our son right now is 1,500 miles away from us. And so what has become important for all of us is our church family. Perhaps you could comment on that.
Absolutely. I think one of the interesting things, if we look at that, the younger generation, is that we find there's much more mobility between churches, that there isn't kind of often the long-term commitment to a church, but there's much more a pick and mix. And that has a challenge, really, when you don't have a more immediate family, that the idea of a church family becoming that can be a bit of a challenge. And therefore, that's another thing that you can do with your youngster before, is really to see if that they get rooted in a community, and do a little bit of education of the leaders as to what they can do to help support. I mean, I think this is true in general of families. When we go overseas, actually often there's an education process to go on. What is often more challenging is parents who are leaving behind kids who are not yet believers, whom the church is perhaps an anathema. One of the issues we're often dealing with as parents, looking from the parents' point of view, is we're dealing with guilt issues. Was it my fault? Was the church wrong that we went to? Or were we wrong to whatever? And therefore, compound that with the thought of, well, I really feel guilty about leaving my child, and you've got a real hodgepodge of things. But accepting the fact that God gives us kids unconditionally and they make their choices, we have to kind of work in with that and trust God with them. But that may mean that if for some reason they've been put off the church, they're not going to get that sort of support. Then I think it's incumbent upon us to put some other sort of support mechanism in place, through family, friends, through relatives. Obviously, concern about who their peer group is that they may turn to for support. There's nothing you can do about that, and you might be facing exactly the same issues whether or not you go overseas. And I think always when we go overseas, we have to tease out, well, what are the issues that I'm facing because I'm taking this step, as opposed to, well, this is part of family life and this is part of transition and what would be happening anyway.
Right.
So I think we could be just have a little bit of common sense within that. I think the other support network we haven't looked at is, you know, if there's siblings still in the country, then that can be quite significant. I mean, I think of a family that's recently gone, where actually they'd gone back overseas after probably 16 years in this country, taking their youngest with them, but leaving two behind, knowing that the oldest will actually be taking a bit of care of the next one down.
Right.
And the 16-year-old was given the choice, which was important, by this staying. And they would have stayed for him had he wanted to stay, or he could have stayed under the wing of the rest of the family, or could go with them. And he's opted to go with them after discussion, and is absolutely thrilled to be where he is, in the country of his birth, but never really kind of remembered it. But I think this, you know, one can't downplay enough the too much, whichever that is. You can't overestimate the importance of talking things through and having a family that communicates and allows the kids to express their points of view, their feelings. It gives permission for that and validates them.
If we were to say to our younger son, hey, we are going to Europe, you can stay here or you can go, I know our younger son would say, well, let me pack my bags and I'm ready to leave tomorrow. You know?
Yeah.
But certainly with our older son, I think that he would be very accepting of it. And yet you're right. There are those kinds of issues that we would be dealing with in terms of making sure that he knew how to just sort of address various things like insurance and who to go to. And boy, there's a lot of issues to think about.
Indeed. And I think I would love to see more organizations doing some thoughts about that, so that they, maybe we produce some sort of questionnaire, both for parents and for youngs who are planning this, and saying, you know, have you thought about this? And how do you feel about et cetera, and doing something similar for the kids too, so that you have so that they can express the reason mum and dad are going away is because what I'll miss about not having them is one thing that scares me about without them, what I'm looking forward to, you know, that sort of thing,
right,
that brings it up. So you have a little bit of a tick list for the parents to say, yeah, we've covered this in terms of the practical things. And then actually these are the deeper emotional type things that we feel that we think they might be feeling, and that you go through that. That's maybe something that we could just, that wouldn't take too much doing to bring up something like that and make it part of the pre-assignment orientation so that people have thought it. I think we've just got to, you know, have a new way of dealing with people that are at a different stage of life.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.